Welcome to episode 13 of Stonewall Spotlight, a monthly podcast by the Stonewall Democratic Club, focusing on the most salient issues in Democratic politics from the LGBTQIA and feminist lens. I'm Mackenzie Hussman, your host, and I'm joined here by my co-host, Marcus Levengood.
Thank you so much, Mackenzie. Welcome
back. It's good to be back.
And welcome all of you to our two-part series, Trans Lives Matter. This month, I sit down with Chloe Perez, Manager for Transgender Programs and Services at BNSTAR and local trans rights activist, who was one of the individuals assaulted at Las Perlas.
A truly riveting account of how our trans brothers and sisters continue to be targeted, even in a progressive democratic city like Los Angeles.
I was very honored to sit down with her, and I'm very honored to share my interview with all of you. And I hear that you're being honored yourself, Mackenzie.
Yes, I am. There are the upcoming Truman Awards luncheon on Sunday, December 8th at 11 a.m. It's hosted by the Democratic Party of the San Fernando Valley, and yours truly has been nominated by Stonewall this year. So I just wanted to give a quick thank you, and I'm definitely looking forward to the event. And tickets can be purchased on their website, dpsfv.com.
Percent of the homeless youth on the streets in Los Angeles and across the United States are LGBTQ. I am in my second year of collecting suits and dresses for LGBTQ youth that are experiencing homelessness. We are having a collection at the Stonewall Winter Party as well as other times during the year. So please email marcuslevengood@me.com for more information. If you have suits and dresses to donate, we will take them. Tonight at 6:30 is the Stonewall Democratic Club General Membership Meeting. I look forward to seeing all of you there tonight at the West Hollywood Library Community Meeting Center at 6:30. This is Marcus Levengood, and you're listening to Stonewall Spotlight.
And now, let's listen to Marcus's interview with Chloe Perez, Manager for Transgender Programs and Services at BNSTAR.
We just observed the Transgender Day of Remembrance on November 23rd, and a new report from Trans Respect versus Transphobia Worldwide says 331 trans and gender diverse people were murdered worldwide between October 2018 and September 2019. Brazil had the highest number of these hate crimes, with 130 killings reported. Mexico had 63, and the U.S. reported 30. In addition, 3,317 trans and gender-diverse people have been murdered globally since January 2008. This needs to end. So I'm here with Ms. Chloe Perez, Manager for Transgender Programs and Services at BNSTAR, and a local trans rights activist. Chloe, we are so excited to have you here on Stonewall Spotlight.
Oh my God, I'm more excited to be here.
You know, I'd like to say that you're an inspiration to the entire trans community for speaking out, for advocating for your community. And as we all know, the trans community needs all the help that they can possibly get, correct?
Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. And yes, we need all the help that we can get in this crucial time.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about BNSTAR. What do you guys do at BNSTAR?
BNSTAR is an organization that focuses on helping the Latinx community, the trans community, basically all the vulnerable communities in the city of Los Angeles. And we're proud to say that we do this through our mobilization, education, and the direct provision of services. And we focus on making sure that our people are very well taken care, mm-hmm. And their well-being is taken care.
Well, fantastic. Thank you for doing that. What types of things would you say that the community faces on a daily basis?
Aside from what we've seen, that Specifically, I'll speak for the trans community. We see that we face violence, discrimination, transphobia. But as an immigrant trans woman, I can also say that we face many barriers accessing services, medical services, social services. We don't have a lot of those resources out there. And so my community, the Latinx community, still faces a lot of that as well.
And we're in Los Angeles, one of the most progressive, most liberal cities in the country, and we're still struggling with getting the services to the trans community that they absolutely need.
Yes, definitely. I think that, yes, Los Angeles is a progressive city, but there's so much work that we need to do, and there's so much more that needs to be fixed in the city. And and so hopefully we can do that.
Right. Fabulous. So just before we get into these questions, I just want to know a little bit about your background. So how was your transition, and how did you come about to get involved with the NSTAR here in LA?
Yeah. So my transition has been there since I was 5 years old, since I can remember, since I can have the first memories. And there's no specific time as to when someone transitions. But for me, it was really at the age of 5 when I started asking my parents why I couldn't wear dresses like the rest of my cousins. Mm-hmm. And obviously because of culture, because of where I come from and family values, it wasn't seen as something that I could have access to, or my parents really didn't know how to upbring me with being so different. It wasn't until the age of 24 when I began my transition. And I say 24 because that's when I began my hormone replacement therapy, and that's when I completely changed my name, and I started becoming the person that I am today. And so it's been almost 6 years now of my transition.
What a beautiful transition too. So you were recently thrust into the public sphere because of an incident at Las Perlas in August. I was down there on the street with you. It was right across the street from my place.
Yeah, thank you for being there, by the way.
Of course. You know, I always stand with the community, do whatever I can. That was in August. That's now being investigated as a hate crime. Mm-hmm. Can you share with our listeners exactly what happened?
Sure. It's a little bit difficult for me to talk about,
of course,
what happened, but I think it was a reminder that diversity and inclusion in the city of LA and in many other cities around the world, they just don't see diversity as normal. They don't see diversity as something that's part of us. And so what happened at Las Perlas was a reminder that there's a lot of work that we need to do. And I don't want to get too much into detail about what happened, but we were physically attacked by two patrons and verbally assaulted for being different. And then we were humiliated by the personnel at Las Perlas, the securities that forcibly removed us from there. Just for being transgender, for being gender nonconforming, for being gay, for not fitting in with the image that they are used to seeing. And so really what happened there is just was an act of injustice, and it was an act of hate. And that should not be happening in any city, in any bar, in any place.
Mm-hmm. Right. 100%. It should not be happening anywhere. How did that make you feel? I know it was a terrible, terrible incident, but how does that, since that incident, how has that affected your life thus far?
Tremendously. My life will never be the same after that. Mm-hmm. And it's marked my life, and I know it's marked the life of my colleagues that were there as well, in many ways, you know, and in many ways that are not, that can never be repaired. For me, it's been the fact that it violated my privacy. Mm-hmm. It took away my right to say whether I am transgender or not. Mm-hmm. And it affected also my relatives, my husband, my mother-in-law, my immediate family, people coming and asking them, why do you have a trans daughter? What is that? Mm. Why did your son marry a transgender woman? And so to me, that's what hurts the most, mm-hmm. because I'm already on the public eye by being an activist and helping others. But when people start attacking my family and the people that I love, that hurts more mm-hmm. Than what the patrons said to me at the bar. I have to see therapists now. Everything I've worked for these years to be okay with myself, with who I am, has been removed again. And I have to start learning how to live with that again and feeling safe walking down the street and not feeling like someone can come and attack me anytime when I'm sitting in a public place. And so those are the things that will never be repaired. Those are the things that I will always have to live with and learn to live with. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I've been affected by this.
Right. And just so our listeners know that Las Perlas is still open. It's still having patrons and it's doing well. Nothing, literally nothing has been done in this case since, which is unacceptable. As we all know, Chloe, violence against trans people, especially trans women of color, is just all too prevalent right now. How can we help and protect our trans brothers and sisters and our gender diverse community in light of these instances? What are you, you're so incredible in the community. What are you doing to fight this?
First of all, I want to start by saying that we've created such a hyper visibility for the trans community. I mean, we are seeing trans actors, trans models, mm-hmm. even trans surgeons. Mm-hmm. And that hyper visibility that we've created has consequences and is affecting the most vulnerable. It's affecting those trans siblings that are living on the streets, those trans siblings that are out there and don't have the support system that we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And for me, how can we help, you're asking? It's by creating safe spaces for these trans individuals. It's by creating a network of services. It's giving us a platform and the space to heal and to come together and really obtain the services that we need. To create more structure around the need of the community. Mm-hmm. I think it's necessary to have spaces where people can come and join together and celebrate diversity and celebrate the difference that we all are. Mm-hmm. But also something very simple as having a patient navigator or having a case manager that can guide you. I tell you what, when I was going through reporting what happened at Las Perlas, it was even hard for me as an activist, you know, to go into the police station and do a lineup of the aggressors. It's complicated. And so when individuals out there don't have the skills or don't have the capacity to do that, that's what we need. We need individuals in the community that can help us create that support system mm-hmm. for them. Mm-hmm. And also we need more allies. You know, we need people that are contributing to the cause. We need people who are creating space on the table and letting us lead and letting trans individuals lead the way and create services for us. And we need that. We need people that support us, not just that talk and say that they're going to help us, but that actually do it. We need real allies.
Absolutely. Wow. Thank you for that. And what's amazing is you do that at Bienestar Star. You guys are building those support systems, but you know, the public needs to know that, you know, this is an emergency situation and that we need to really start building and getting serious about this. Because our trans brothers and sisters are, you know, gender non-conforming, gender diverse, you know, community are being targeted everywhere.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. And you've mentioned it, and it's been said by the CDC that these trans murders are an epidemic, And so we need to end that epidemic. This is it's not right. And we're seeing it in Brazil as the leading country in trans murders. And then Mexico City, my city, as the second city in the world, it's really saddening. And then to see that a progressive city that you mentioned earlier, such as Los Angeles, is still seeing these type of injustices and transphobic crimes, it really saddens me, you know?
We need to get back to work. So we'll go back to Bienestar. Your day job is as a community health advocate and transgender program manager, Bienestar Human Services. What would you like us to know specifically about the important work that you and Bienestar do every day in the community?
I think it's important to know that we help those individuals that don't have the access to different type of services. And the important the work that we do, or we're currently doing, is focusing on those individuals living on the street and that need a lot of support in areas such as mental health or legal aid, immigration services, medical services. And that's really important because these are services that are part of a human being and that oftentimes we take for granted and other people really need them. And so the important work that we're doing at Bienestar is that we're helping these individuals and we're getting them access to all those services that I just mentioned.
Right. Amazing. Well, to wrap this up, if there's something that you'd like our listeners to know, our transgender listeners right there, if there's a message you can send to all the young people out there, what would it be right now?
Is that look for the support in individuals. You're not alone. And there's always someone out there that can help you. And don't give up. Don't give up and continue to be who you are and continue to live for who you want to be.
Ms. Chloe Perez, Manager for Transgender Programs and Services at Bienestar, thank you so much for being on Stonewall Spotlight. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm Chloe Perez Rios and I'm Stonewall.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Stonewall Spotlight. Please tune in next month as we continue our two-part series, Trans Lives Matter. I'm Mackenzie Hussman.
And I'm Marcus Lovingood. We will see you all next time on Stonewall Spotlight.